Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm delightful. How are you today?
Also delightful. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Lots to get into with you on the Titans front here. Let's start with Chidobe Awuzie. Okay. So he was released over the weekend, has not been healthy throughout a lot of his career. We were going through some of his numbers earlier. It feels like every other year he basically misses half the season. So obviously did not go to plan for him in the Titans last year. What did you make of that move to move on from him, and where do you make of where the Titans are now left at the cornerback spot?
Well, that was one I had circled, and I know it caught some people by surprise, but I kind of expected it, so I was not surprised to see that move happen at all. If you notice, a lot of these moves they've made have been, their durability is an issue. Availability is an issue with, you know, a lot of the players they've signed. Like Draymond Jones has not missed a game in 2 years. What's that?
I'm screaming at a golf game. Sorry. I'm listening,
okay. Corey. Right? We got some golf going on here.
Okay.
You're not watching this? The whole world is watching this.
I just woke up, guys. Some of us work at night.
That's true.
So durability is an issue. You know, it saves them like $2 million this year, but it also tags them off the book last year. And, you know, I think Jarvis Brownlee, you know, you're talking about building your draft picks, coaching them up and retaining them. I mean, that's the guy that you want to do that with. So you want him on the field. And, you know, yes, it costs them in depth some, but if you remember, they just re-signed Baker, who played a lot last year, and I really liked him. I mean, I think he's an affordable, good depth piece. He's a good guy. He's long. So, I mean, I think they've got some good young players there where having Awuzie, frankly, just didn't make a lot of sense because of the cap hit and because of the lack of being able to count on him to be healthy. I mean, you just get to that point where you can't expect to have guys around. It's tough to build around guys that you can't expect to have.
Yeah, I think clearly the durability aspect is a theme here, Corey. But I would wonder this also. Do you think this move speaks to optimism about L'Jarius Sneed? Because you can certainly see where even with Baker in the fold, when you have two guys like that, that you wonder about, that's why you keep both, because you figure one of them might be hurt, right? Like, am I taking that too far and wondering if this is a comment on optimism with him?
I mean, I know there was optimism on how healthy he was, but I mean, this is a guy who came in the last year, I'm talking about Sneed, with a bad knee, and then, you know, he suffers the quad injury of a lifetime. That just did not get better. I don't think so. I think this is just purely looking at his contract and seeing it at an escapable point and saying we're moving on. Because I don't think that they're a Snead or a Awuzie away from being good. And they proved they can play defense with Brownlee, McCreary, and Baker back there anyway.
So, Corey, based on what they've done to this point, or maybe more accurately, what they've not done, specifically at quarterback, is it looking like Cam Ward is the obvious pick to you now for the Titans? And if so, what do you make of the job that they've done in revamping the offensive line for him?
Well, there's also the reports last night that the Giants are out of the market for trying to trade for the first pick. So. Right. All signs seem to point to, you know, Cam Ward being a Tennessee Titan, you know, at number one. And, you know, when they also signed Brandon Allen, who's 32 years old and has 1,800 career yards, which is fewer than Will Levis passed for last season. You know, it it let you know that somebody else was going to be playing quarterback for them this year. And, you know, whether they have a secret plan to get somebody else, it certainly looks like it's Cam Ward. And, you know, for me, no matter who the quarterback is, you need a better offensive line. But I am a huge proponent of, when you have a rookie quarterback, of making their job as easy as possible until they're ready to take on more. You know, because I always point back to Brady and Roethlisberger, and their first year or two, they didn't throw more than 20, 25 passes a game. I mean, those guys didn't come in chucking it. You know, they ran the football, and, you know, the Titans have two good running backs, and they've got a large offensive line now that is, you know, about 700 pounds on the right side. And I think those two guys, Pollard and Spears, should have a big year. And they should have the opportunity to have a big year, and they should set up, you know, to make Cam Ward's job as easy as possible. You know, I was in Houston the year David Carr came in as a rookie, and that's about as poor of a job as I've ever seen handling a franchise rookie quarterback, because he did have ability, and they just got him absolutely killed. It's tough for veterans to play when they're getting killed. Just, you know, ask Patrick Mahomes in the two Super Bowls that he lost, you know, how those games went for him. And so, you know, I think protecting your young quarterback, allowing them to develop, and running the football until he's ready to throw it. I mean, and maybe he is Jaden Daniels, and he's ready to throw it 30 times a game. But I like the idea of being able to not have to do that right out of the gate. So if you ask me what's more important, to have a line in front of him or to have star receivers around him at this stage in his career, it's definitely having the big guys in front of him.
76 freaking sacks, right? Is that the number that year for Carr? 76? I think it was.
And I'll tell you what. What was the name of the coach? Dom Capers.
And right.
Just kept dropping. I covered the first year of the Panthers and the first year of the Texans, so I got an overdose on Dom Capers. But it just kept dropping him back there. And you talk about a guy's head being on a swivel. Wow. So if you think the Titans offensive line has been bad the last couple years, you have no idea.
That's saying something. That is really saying something.
It is.
Okay, 2%.
Go ahead.
Sorry, two percentages I need from you. One.
Oh, sure.
I mean, we're already talking about Cam Ward, like it's a foregone conclusion he's the quarterback next year, but your percentage chance of confidence that he will start for the Titans week one next year, and then also your percentage confidence that he will be what they hope he is as a quarterback.
I would say 90% that he's going to start week one, just because if they brought in a Flacco or a Winston or a Gardner Minshew, some guy who'd started a lot of games, I would say, okay, you know, maybe 50-50, But Brandon Allen doesn't tell me, hey, we're bringing this guy in to start week one. Like I said, 1,800 career yards. Maybe I'm wrong. That's why I'll give it the 10%. And Cam Ward, I like him. I like his tape. I like the person. From what I know of the person, you know, because I haven't met him, but, you know, his story, you know, what he puts out there as to what's important to him, and the way he's been able to be successful in multiple stops. You know, I like all those things. So, you know, normally with a quarterback, I would say 50-50. I'll say 66.6667%. I'll say 2-1.
I like it.
So, boy, that is very optimistic.
I like it. So on the NCAA tournament front, Corey, what do you make of Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and the opportunity in front of them as March Madness begins later this week?
Well, how about 14 SEC teams?
Yeah, crazy.
I mean, this is a league that a few years ago only had 12 teams, and also had to have a meeting with all its ADs to tell them to get their basketball together because they got to a point where they were lucky to get four or five teams in the tournament. So the league has certainly turned things around. Like, everybody in that league that is in that tournament is prepared to play in that tournament. And so, you know, they're going to win some games, but they're also going to – I don't know how many have to play. How many potential SEC matchups do we have in round two other than Vanderbilt, Alabama? There's got to be more than one.
Yeah, there's also I thought it was Ole Miss, but I'm wrong about that. There's at least one other one that I saw, and right now I'm like, yeah.
Tennessee, Kentucky would be Sweet 16, right?
That is correct, which could be awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if we expect it to happen, but we'll see. You know, look, if Vanderbilt shoots the ball well, they've got a chance to move on. I think Alabama's a tough go in round two. And for Tennessee, it's the same story. Every year, they're always going to play good defense, but every year they're going to have a clunker on offense. You know, they had that clunker on offense yesterday, and they lost. And can they survive the clunker on offense, whether it happens in round one, two, three, four, you know, or five? Because there isn't a team in the field that they can't beat. I mean, they proved that at the SEC tournament. They beat Auburn. But, you know, when Igor Milicic and Chaz Lanier, and I know Lanier wound up with 11, but they didn't get anything from those guys in the first half. And so they struggled. And, you know, can they survive those games where those guys, or, you know, pick somebody else, you know, doesn't give them anything? I mean, if they didn't have Jordan Gainey yesterday, they would have been in real trouble. And so that'll be interesting to see because, you know, they're certainly good enough to go to the Final Four. But their history tells us there's going to be a game where they're going to struggle. I think Lipscomb, I know you didn't ask me, is interesting.
Yep.
Because Iowa State's, I believe, their best player is hurt.
Yep.
And Lipscomb can score a lot of points. And if you're not ready to guard, you know, they can score a lot of points. Now, I know you didn't ask me. The Tennessee Tech women, congratulations. You're a 36-point underdog in round one.
Go get them.
Are you saying take the plus 36?
They won 17 in a row.
Yeah.
And they got a 16 seed to play the Gamecocks in Columbia.
Hey.
With an angry Don Staley.
Let it rip, man. And by the way, it's Kentucky, Texas, and Florida, Oklahoma, also potential second rounders here.
Yep.
So three of them.
Yeah. I mean, look, with 14, I mean, gosh, almost one-fourth of the field, it was inevitable.
It's hard to avoid.
Yeah. You know what's been amazing is, you know, with North Carolina in the field, I haven't really heard anybody complaining about the SEC getting 14 teams.
That's true. They've kind of sucked up all the oxygen.
Yeah.
And well-deserved.
Everybody's just kind of like, yeah. I mean, yeah, what you could pick on Arkansas and maybe Texas.
Texas is the one, yeah. I think the other ones are all solid, but Texas, I didn't think Texas would get in. So,
yeah, winning two, and they got in over what, West Virginia, Indiana?
And Boise, yeah.
Boise had 25 wins or whatever. Yeah, it's interesting. You know what the thing I always say, though, is when you're one of the last four in, last four out, don't put yourself in that spot.
I agree.
You know, I mean, when you're on the bubble, you're on the bubble. Don't complain. Win more.
I agree. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. It's been great. I feel like we have more to talk about, but there's coffee to make.
There you go.
Get in there and get golf to watch. Go watch that golf.
To watch, too.
That's right.
I don't have cable.
Get
Forget
fired
it.
Up. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say on the Titans front. We will get back into March Madness and the NCAA tournament later this hour as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.